The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Wednesday edition. The latest Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is up and waiting for download.
I like that one. It featured the three of us.
It was a three-man weave. It was and Yurk and Randy Merkin.
Randy Merkin was in this one. We had to kind of put him in, I guess.
We had some scheduling issues. Waddle and Sylvie will be back on the podcast, of course, next week with us. So get to the ESPN Chicago app, get to the Carmen and Yurko page, the Waddle and Sylvie page each and every week for Crosstalk Unhinged.
There's some rave reviews coming in from Merck's participation,
yeah.
Boys.
Oh, Merck was fantastic.
Yeah, the lack of was the best part of it.
And we took it as an opportunity without the guys there to lambast the hell out of them. Yeah.
It's what they deserve.
And Sylvie took a shot at you yesterday.
Of course. Yeah, that's all he does.
Because he said Carm's coming out Friday and he goes, then he's going to complain.
I'll tell him. I wanted to get it off my chest because I wanted to use the language.
I don't see usually get that heated. You were not happy.
There's nothing worse than asking somebody for a gambling tip and then that person bitching and complaining about it when
crying
it doesn't hit.
Crying like a baby.
Nothing worse.
That's why
I don't give out golf picks because I'm usually wrong, so I'm not going to give them out.
I'll go after him on Friday. Don't worry. But I wanted to also unload on Unhinged because I wanted to
use a special way that you
foul
could.
Language. Yeah. Yes, and I can't do that.
Because you want to let your real feelings out is what you wanted to do.
I am going to do my segment with the guys, just the shaft. I'm sorry, just the tip is what we call it, the
That's
gambling
right.
tips.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it
Mine
live with them.
Mine is just the kazoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it live with them because they're at Kenny's in Countryside on 55th Street, which is like 4 minutes
Peanuts
from my house.
From
I love
your
Kenny.
House.
Do you know that's like a minute from my house?
Oh, it's even closer to Mellor. Absolutely.
Who killed Kenny? There's a reference for you.
Is that
South
a reference
Park.
To South Park?
South Park.
Yeah.
Who killed
Kenny? Legendary. Yeah. Come on, Kirby. You know that?
I was never a South Park guy, really.
That's okay.
When you saw,
but you knew who killed Kenny.
So, Mellor, you should swing by, too. Kenny's is a great place.
You guys should both swing by. You guys are swingers. Swing on by.
They have fantastic food, sandwiches and burgers and stuff.
You want to come pick me up? We'll carpool?
No. We'll meet there. We'll bike together.
What's
we'll ride our bikes.
What's the problem?
It's out of my way to go pick him up.
You said it so quick.
Wait a minute.
He's a minute away. You're 4 minutes away.
Well, why wouldn't we meet there? It's like in between our houses. Why would I go pick him up?
Well, you don't have two extra minutes. 1 minute and 1 minute. You don't got 2 extra minutes.
Yeah, no. It
well, that's
make
an
sense.
Indictment when you think about the teammates.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He lives closer than I do.
All right.
But anyway, I will do my segment with the guys live. Right. At Kenny's this Friday. So make sure you get to Unhinged, though, because, we had some fun. And Yurko really had some fun with Waddle.
Well, that's because he deserved it. I mean, what the hell's going on?
It was so good.
Oh, but he learned. I heard him on Monday tell me that was an uncatchable ball. I said, what? I was there. I was there. The benefit of seeing it live in person. By the way, I've got Who's the douche, too.
Oh, good.
And it might be myself who was the douche, and I'll describe the situation for you later on.
Maybe we'll do it Friday. We can do a good
one. No, but I've got to describe
Friday.
The situation today.
Okay.
And then we could do it later on. Just let people think about it. Just let it kind of marinate for a couple of days.
Major bag alert.
Who do we got coming up here?
All right, let's talk to Chuck Garfine. No game today. We go till noon. Tomorrow we'll be off a little early because it's the first of five in Cleveland, and they obviously should be clinching, my God, I'd hope, the division at some point this weekend in Cleveland with this long series. White Sox in Cleveland, Bears in Cleveland this weekend, and the Sox should be celebrating a division crown. Bigger fish to fry, though, but they can still celebrate. Chuck Garfine joins us now here on the Corona Hotline on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. What's up, Chuck?
Not much. Calm before the storm. We are obviously an off day here. Double header in Cleveland tomorrow. Two 7-inning games. I am optimistic the White Sox will clinch, we don't know yet who the White Sox are starting. Right before I jumped on with you, I was waiting on La Russa's press conference. But we do know who the Indians are going to go with. They're going with Civale and Plesac. They're two best starters tomorrow. And get this, there's a chance that Friday they might bring Shane Bieber back to pitch against the White Sox. Be on the lookout for that. That could happen.
For what it's worth, the ESPN probables have it as, Plesac and Lopez. I'm getting reclaimed.
Ronaldo?
Plesac and Lopez in the first game tomorrow, and then Civale and Cease in the second game tomorrow.
I mean, that could be the case. But that's how ESPN has it. I'm waiting for the official word from La Russa, just because there was a rainout. You just don't know how they're setting things up, and we haven't heard anything yet.
How about Dallas Keuchel last night? Now, I was at his last start last Wednesday on the South Side when he pitched. I described it as he grinded his way.
Workmanlike effort.
Yeah, workmanlike effort and against the Angels lineup last Wednesday night. Kind of the same thing, I guess, yesterday. The pattern, though, that has emerged, and this is just probably who Dallas Keuchel is. I mean, last year was great. He was terrific. It was also a very short season. The pattern that's emerged here is that somebody who just doesn't miss a lot of bats anymore, has a tough time striking guys out, and gets hit a lot. So, yes, he's pitched 11 innings in his last two starts, and he's given up 4 earned runs. All right, not bad. But 17 hits, 6 walks, only 5 strikeouts, 53 hits allowed in his last 30 and two-thirds innings. Like, it's a dangerous way to live, and I still can't help but wonder, what is the role for Dallas Keuchel, if any, in these playoffs?
Well, a lot of it depends on Carlos Rodon, and Rodon is going to, they're hoping that he'll start on Wednesday against the Reds. He's going to have about a week off, and depending on how he gets through that outing, he will either start in the playoffs or he won't start in the playoffs, depending on how his shoulder feels. So that could open the door for Dallas Keuchel getting a start in the playoffs. He has been better in his last two outings. Has it been great? No. He gave up a lot of hits, I think 11 yesterday, but only 11. 2 runs.
Yeah.
Only 2 runs. I'm actually surprised it has taken this long for the opposition, other teams, to actually put some lefties in against him, because lefties are hitting him this year.
They've crushed him this year.
Last year, lefties against Dallas Keuchel, it was a 60-game season. They batted 171. They slugged 171. He did not give up a single extra base hit against a lefty last year. This year they're batting a little over 300, and A.J. Hinch put in Akil Baddoo, who doesn't even hit well against lefties. They had him lead off yesterday. He got 2 hits off Keuchel, 2 RBIs, which in a 2-run game ended up being big ones. So if Keuchel is to pitch in the playoffs, he needs to do better against lefties. He's well aware of it. He's just not fooling guys like he used to. So that's the big thing for him.
How are White Sox fans feeling about their bullpen?
How are they feeling about the bullpen? I think the one guy that is kind of weighing things down right now is Craig Kimbrell. And, he's in essence, cost them 3 games in the last week by giving up a run in 3 close games in the 8th inning. When the White Sox acquired Craig Kimbrell and when they acquired Cesar Hernandez at the deadline, I thought that was exactly what they needed. They also got Ryan Tepera. And these two guys have not done the job for the Sox. I'm surprised myself. Kimbrell, it's not like his stuff is bad. He's had a couple of really bad outings against the Cubs, ironically, but he gets 2 outs against Detroit, and then he just had an 0-2 pitch, hits Grossman, then there's a wild pitch, and then there's a base hit, and boom, you give up a run. It's not like he's been horrible, but just things are not going his way. I think if Kimbrell can turn things around, I think the bullpen, in my belief, will be – you'll feel much better about the pen. But right now, just things are shaky. And it's not like, you look at the offense, you got 5 guys who are hitting the ball, but they're not consistently putting things together. They're scoring 8 one day, then 1, then 10, then 2. There's no 5-5-4, 6-5-4. And that means when you do this, you're playing 500 baseball. And that's what the White Sox have been doing for about 2 months.
bullpens are fickle, and they're, you know, we were all excited about it. Remember, they talked about, you know, not losing a game when they were handed a lead, and you know, that not the way it
goes.
It's
gone by the wayside.
And then some. I mean, and I think I know what Chuck's saying, and I still think that it there's still a ton of potential down there, and I feel good about a lot of guys, but it's just not nearly as locked down as I think everybody assumed. But that's bullpens, man. I mean, like, that's the most stressful thing in baseball at this point, isn't it, Chuck? Is like figuring out if your bullpen is good or not day to day.
Yeah, I mean, Bummer has been a lot better. Hendricks has been a lot better. I mean, Tapero was great until he got hurt. I think he's coming back pretty soon. I mean, Jose Ruiz has been really good. He was probably the weakest link for a while there. Now he's one of their strongest relievers. So Crochet's been good.
Yeah.
I'm of all the things going on, I'm not concerned about the bullpen. It is, to me, it's Rodon. Will he be ready for the playoffs? That's a humongous X factor to me. And even though the offense is kind of, you know, hot and cold, I have a feeling they'll figure it out. While we're in it, you know, like, they've lost two in a row to the Tigers. It just feels like blah. Even though this team is about to win their first division title since 2008, it's just that how they've gotten to this point where for the last, you know, they were 19 games over 500 at the break. They have the third best record in the American League Central since the break. So you're kind of like, well, who is this team? Can they turn it on? And I just feel like, because this is a theory, because they've had this big lead for so long, I mean, they're just kind of going along. They're not being pushed and pushed and pushed like they need to be pushed to play better. You might think, like, why should that be the case? But these guys are human. I'd like to think, come playoff time, they will actually have the ability to turn it on, and they're not going to play like they've been playing for the last few weeks. That's my hope. My belief, I can see that happening. It's just a hope. I mean, because this lineup is really, really good. And it's not like you look at these guys and they're not hitting. I mean, Grandal's been on fire. Abreu's having good games. Larry Garcia, Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson's now starting to hit because he hasn't been playing that much. But, I mean, they got dangerous bats. Jimenez isn't hitting, but Moncada's hitting. I think you get these guys in the playoffs, and they can really make things tough on the Astros. But as we're watching this team over the last few weeks, you're like, well, I don't know. And that's how I'm feeling. And I'm guessing the Sox are in a way feeling the same way, because they're not playing that great on a consistent basis. The longest winning streak in the second half is four. Three of those wins came against the Cubs about a month and a half ago.
I mean, nice to see Aloy get going before the playoffs. Chuck, we appreciate it. Enjoy the day off. We'll talk to you later.
All right, tomorrow, doubleheader. You guys have it. We have it. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Let's hope they clinch.
Clinch tomorrow.
And,
we're excited.
It'll be a lot of fun.
So win one of them. They clinch tomorrow. Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah. All right.
All right, buddy. There is Chuck Arfine at Chuck Arfine on Twitter. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. Well, there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas. Circa Las Vegas is more than wings and a wager. It's a 21 and older, adults-only betting nirvana. Watch up to 19 games inside a stunning 70 million-pixel three-story mega screen. When it's time for fun in the sun, Circa's outdoor pool amphitheater brings the heat. Stadium Swim serves up 365 days a year of temperature-controlled pools with swim-up bars, live DJs, and a 143-foot screen for your sports viewing pleasure. Just incredible. Circa Las Vegas. Sports the way it should be. Book your reservation online at CircaLasVegas.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Some football news. Antonio Brown, COVID list. Does that mean he's automatically not eligible for Sunday, or is it wait and see? Because they're all vaccinated, so the rules are...
That is true. That's a good point.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 100% vaccinated.
That is true. So
we talked about that in the preseason. Were you not here that day?
Is that rhetoric?
No. They're all vaccinated. We had said, I guarantee you, that's Tom Brady saying anybody that's not is going to be gone. I mean, there's no question.
Interesting. A guy that guards what goes into his body.
Yeah, no
kidding. Yeah, it's interesting, though, isn't it?
Well, he's... Listen, York, you know how he is. It's we're here to win, yeah. And that's it. I mean, so yeah. He's like, we're not having any of this. Everybody's vaccinated or you're not going to be on this team. So they're 100%. They did announce that. So does that mean he could still maybe play this weekend? I don't know what the rules are.
I think it is possible, especially because it's Wednesday. It's a possibility, although I wouldn't count on that.
Okay. Tua will not play. Tua has fractured ribs.
Cracked ribs.
Yeah, cracked ribs. He's not going to play.
Got some cracked ribs. It's a problem, Carm.
It's bad. Yeah, it is.
You know, it's one of those things. Dan Pastorini used to wear a flak jacket. There's a little old school name for you.
You got it.
Houston Oilers, yep. Dan Pastorini.
Yep.
He's one of the first guys that came out there with that big flap jacket. They used to take the baseball bat and then just sit there and they'd smack your ribs with that.
See?
It would dissipate the energy. Well, to prove that it would work.
Wow.
And that your ribs couldn't, you know,
it really
crack
works, huh?
Ooh. Well, the flak jacket did at the time, yeah. But Pastorini went out there with some crack ribs and got it done.
God, it's the worst.
But they didn't have much of an option after that. I forget who the backup quarterback was. But you don't want to do that with a player nowadays.
Yeah.
You got a different ribs, option.
Yeah.
You see Jacoby Brissett, what he did? He threw 24 of 40.
Yeah.
For like 162 yards.
Yeah.
So 164 yards, to be exact. Yeah, you want to talk about the accordion effect on that. That's 4.2 yards an attempt.
Yeah, they don't.
60% completion percentage.
Yeah.
4.2.
I mean,
an attempt, Carr.
You're not getting much done.
I'm a safety. I'm playing 8 yards off the line of scrimmage.
You're not getting much done in that scenario.
Oh, my heavens. That's beyond the point of being ridiculous.
Kind of why.
Is Jacob Eason going to do it for the Indianapolis Colts?
I think Eason is trending to start this weekend, too, right, Mellor? Is Eason trending to start?
Yes.
All right, what are you going with? Can I introduce my bag alert thing?
Yeah, you can. I was just going to say, it's also why I like Fields, you know, in just a handful. Yeah. Now, look, he threw 13 passes, but it was like 10 intended air yards. Dalton is, I think, third from the bottom in the NFL through 2 weeks at like 4.2. There's that number again, 4.2 intended air yards. You know, that's not
that's
not per attempt, but
intended air yards.
I mean,
intended
it's like, you're not going down the field at all.
Right.
I think they're better off in fields. We're going to get an update from JD coming up.
Well, let's go to line two.
Okay, then I want you to talk about
that. I will.
Jose's in Hegwisch. What's up, Jose?
Jose, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. So I just think back about when Lamar Jackson was his rookie and they brought him in and how they gradually got him into the game. They put in a little splash plays here and there, but they mainly set him up for success. And I think that's what they should do. Not necessarily the way they use them running the ball, more moving the pocket and setting up for success with more, easy throws, like easy completions, easy play to best chemistry he's had is Mooney. So set him up for success. Don't try to make it seem like he's set. He's from Ohio State. And I remember Matt Nagy, his first year, said this is year one of his offense with Trubisky. That was his best year with Trubisky when he kept it simple. So I hope he doesn't have too much of a big ego with Fields and tries to show everyone that he's the one that's making Fields. And let Fields do his thing and stop being the guy you think you are. Be you. And that's what you should practice.
I don't know who Matt Nagy
should
be. It was
best year between the two of them when the first eight games, I think.
Before
you know, they
Trey
played
Burton
together.
Got hurt.
Yeah, before Trey Burton got hurt. It's the 2-8 together before, after Mike Glennon was hurt. The eight games where they really looked good. And then the book was out on both of them.
Yes. In 18.
And Matt Nagy has never been as good as that was, and Mitch Trubisky was never as good as he was at that time either.
You guys know what Matt Nagy's record is since the start of 2019? You can figure it
out. Yeah, I mean, that's not that difficult, right?
It's
500, I'm guessing.
It's 17-17.
Yeah, 17-17.
He's coached 50 games in the NFL, okay? 50. This weekend will be number 51. It will also be, are you ready? The 25th time the Bears are an underdog. About 50-50.
Yeah.
25 out of 51 where they are an underdog. Matt Nagy's Bears are 12-12 against the spread as an underdog. I mean, like, he is really wonderfully average, isn't he?
Yeah. That's exactly where he is. Wonderfully average. But he had the 1 year, 12-4. They got hot. You can't deny him that year. You can't be denied that year. That's still his year. Like, you can't deny a coach that comes in and takes over a horse crap program, and they go 4-12. Well, even though it wasn't his program, he was implementing his system, it's still 4-12.
This is Jim in Crystal Lake. Hey, Jim.
Jimmy.
Hey guys, frequent caller here. So I got a potential poll question for you, going back to Craig Kimble.
Okay.
So I'm a Cub fan, and I'm just wondering if, like, a question could be, how satisfied would the Cubs fans be on this season if and when Kimbrel screws up the playoffs for the White Sox?
Cost them a game? That's painful, Jimmy. Would Cub fans rejoice at some point?
Would it bring a smile to my face?
Would it? Yeah, probably.
It might bring a smile. I mean, it might, a smirk, you know, quick smirk. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, at least it was a former Cub that destroyed the White Sox chances.
You could admit it.
Maybe a little smirk a little bit. I would do that. Thanks. I would smirk a little bit, for
thanks,
sure.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, all right, let me give you the situation.
All right, give me the situation.
Are we playing? Does this call for the open, Yerk?
You know I was at the game.
Does it call for the open?
Right? You know I was at the game, right?
Wait, does it call for the open?
I don't think it does. I just want to give you the scenario.
All right, okay.
And then you could play whatever you think you want to play, all right?
All right, you were at the Bears game Sunday.
Yeah, there's another dude accosting a lady out front.
What's happening?
What the hell's going on here?
Send out...
He wants her drink, and she won't leave him alone. He's almost got her pushed into the street.
Somebody go call security.
In the traffic. I mean, this is beyond the point of being ridiculous.
Is anybody helping her?
No, nobody's helping her. Nobody else is there. I mean, there's a dude right in front of the pot belly. I mean, what the hell's going on in this world? Then you got a bunch of dudes just walking by.
Come on, guys.
Hey, somebody help that lady. She's being attacked, for heaven's sake.
I can't see.
These guys are walking around like sheep. Look at these guys.
Come on, guys.
Blank stares on their faces.
Help out.
They're looking back now. Yeah, way to go.
Help your fellow
citizens. Come on, you fellas.
Is she okay?
Jeez, I can't tell.
I don't know. Merkin's going to head out there and check.
They're around the corner now, but I mean, that's ridiculous. All right, let's get to the point now. Now, I'm at the Bears game last week, section 218, row 18.
Right.
I happen to see right before halftime, Abdallah come and walk up the stairs. Abdallah walks up the stairs. Behind him is Black.
Black and Abdallah.
They both walk over. Now it's in the midst of a game. It's 2 minute warning, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe they shouldn't be out of their seats, but maybe they know they got to get out before halftime. That's the best time to go do whatever you need to
Black
do.
Black has season tickets.
Season tickets. He's been there forever, right? Yeah. So I see those guys. I didn't want to interrupt anything going on while the action was happening, but I never had a chance to say hello. And I told both of those guys, they were the king of 218 on text when we were driving home. And he goes, well, you saw? I go, yeah, I was in row 18. He goes, you didn't say hi?
Yeah.
I didn't have the opportunity to really say hi. So was I a douche for not saying hello to those guys? Yeah. Or am I not a douche for not saying hello to those guys?
Who's the douche?
So there you go. So you'd call it a little bit douchey that I didn't yell down and say, hey,
or text
you
them.
Two putzes. I did text them after the game.
Well, no, but you text them like in the here and now. You say, guys, I'm in 218. What do you know?
Yeah.
Let's grab a beer. Let's say come on. And it is a little hard at Soldier because it's.
You know, it's a fair question. What's the social obligation, especially someone who you see five times a week? If you see someone five times a week and then on the off day. And the day you're supposed to be resting,
all
of a sudden, do I need to go out of my way?
Do I got to go out of my way to say hello?
And shear a bear, just because we happen to be in the same vicinity.
Like, what is the protocol there with people that you see on a daily basis?
I was with a group.
Yeah.
I was with my group. You know what I'm saying?
Complicating the matter.
But I feel like when we're at, let's say, a Hawks or a Bulls game at the UC, and we know people either we work with or we're acquaintances with are going to be there, we normally say, okay, we'll meet at the brew pub or at the what's it called now? What's the old Kettle One Club called now? I can't remember.
The Crown Royal Club.
The Crown Royal Club?
It's the Crown Royale Club.
We'll meet at the Crown Royal Club or we'll meet at the brew pub.
Right.
And we'll have a drink there. Like, we do that.
So when I did text them, they're like, why the hell didn't you come down and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, they were with their group of buds. They were having their thing. They were, you know, in their mojo. I didn't want my star to come down and shine upon them.
Right.
You know, maybe to overwhelm them a little bit. I didn't want that to happen to those guys.
Go ahead, Merck.
I was going to say, is it required that they always have to be together?
No, it's not always.
Well, no.
People made that joke about Sylvia and me forever back
but they
in the
do
day.
Frequent the Bears game usually together, though.
Well, it's Black has season tickets, right?
Black has season tickets.
And Abdallah is usually... Well, along for the ride, right?
And part of their agreement, having the Black and Abdallah show, Mike Thomas wrote into their contract, they could not be seen outside without the other one.
Yeah, they've got to be attached at the hip.
They had their own little mini controversy on Monday because Abdallah got tickets to the Metallica show.
And didn't invite
him? And I don't think he told Black about it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It was like a...
Well, that's the bigger douche move. Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's a douche move.
They were arguing that at the very least... Major bag alert. If Dallas should have alerted Black that the tickets were going on sale at the Metro, because Abdallah found out about it like Monday morning, and he lives within walking distance. He lives on the north side. He lives by the Metro. And so he walked over, got in this line or something, I guess, and got tickets. Abdallah was at this show. I mean, you never have to see a concert again. You just saw Metallica, who could play Soldier Field and sell it out in a venue that holds 2,000 people.
At the Metro.
At the Metro. I mean, that's incredible. And the pictures he sent, I mean, he looked like he was on top of him. Yeah. I thought he was in Lars's lap at one point.
I'm not surprised.
I'm very envious. Yeah. I mean, he saw the Dead over the weekend with Zetterman at Wrigley, and then he saw Metallica. I don't really care about seeing the Dead. I mean, but Metallica.
Yeah, I mean, the Dead aren't the Dead anymore. It's John Mayer, right?
Really,
the Dead are dead, yes.
The Dead are dead. I'm not a huge Dead fan, but Metallica at Metro, are you kidding?
By the
That's
way,
phenomenal.
Pat Black, is that Chris's dad's first name?
Pat Black.
Yeah, he's in the Twitch chat.
He's always in the Twitch
chat. He also said, Yurko, you didn't say hi? I mean, so.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I didn't say hi.
But I think Black and Abdallah had a little, like, Black was like, wait, you knew about this Metallica thing and you didn't give me a heads up? But Black lives down here. I don't know that would he have gone all the way up to the north side? Maybe he would.
Oh, my God. He would have gone 6 miles?
Well.
What is it, 4 miles to get all the way up there?
5 miles.
Oh, my God. Would he go 4 miles?
Dude,
I don't know.
Metallica.
To see Metallica, I think he would. I think that might be the bigger bag of the week move there.
Abdallah, we put
him
on.
I think mine goes on the side
burner. Major bag alert. We put him on the tee a lot, baby. Abdallah's the douche.
JD's, it's funny how whenever we play this game,
Abdallah's
we have a winner.
Up.
Yeah.
When we come back, JD's got an update from Halas. Are we going to learn something about like the reps and how they're distributed, and if Fields is going to be the starter in Cleveland in Week 3? We'll talk to JD when we come back.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Let's get a Bears update from JD. He's brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. JD joins us now at the Corona Hotline as the Bears are getting back to work at Halas. Now, as you've told us, Nagy doesn't have to speak on Wednesdays. I'm sure he's happy about that because you know he's going to be peppered with more questions about who the starter's going to be. I mean, do we get an idea, you know, when talking about a rep split this week? Or I don't know. I mean, how's the weekend going? What do you anticipate happening for Sundays in terms of who the starter's going to be, JD?
Carm, we are in scramble mode right now because, like you said, so Nagy does not talk on Wednesdays anymore. So that's sort of the voice of authority is out the window. Now, Bill Lazor will talk, but Bill Lazor, as you heard last week, is not comfortable answering questions that are reserved for the head coach. But, I mean, he is going to be the highest-ranking offensive person speaking today. What we're trying to figure out is whether or not one of the two quarterbacks, or maybe even both, are going to be available to talk. It says Dalton is supposed to speak, but we all know that sometimes when a player is injured, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of really unsure as to how this is all going to play out. Certainly everyone up here is hopeful that at least one of the quarterbacks, Dalton or Justin Fields, will be available. If they are not, that would be a little problematic as far as trying to ascertain what's going on with the quarterback spot. I mean, my thought is if an injury knocked Dalton out of the game on Sunday, I don't really see how he is prepared to have full participation in practice on Wednesday. And I would think that everything would sort of lean towards Fields starting this weekend against the Browns. But still a long way to go, and we will see. But I think right now we're all just kind of waiting to watch how this all unfolds and who, if anyone, is going to be available to maybe kind of shed some light on this topic.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody will. The topic that bothers me, and it has for an extended period of time now, is tarnished Goldman. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? What's happening with him?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see
Labor Day,
if he's
Labor
on the
Day,
field today.
Yeah, Labor Day, he's going through a walkthrough, and all of a sudden he's unavailable for 2 weeks. I don't get it.
Yeah, so he hurt himself on that Monday. That's what Matt Nagy said. He said it was a knee injury on the Monday before the Rams game and was inactive the last 2 weeks. So it certainly, you know, they would be a lot better defensively with him on the field. Now, it was a great performance by the defense against the Bengals. But, guys, let's face it, the Bengals are still a team in transition. The arrow is pointing up. But, you know, that was a team that the Bears were able to kind of impose their will on defensively. As we go along here and they face better teams like the Browns this weekend, you really would like to have all of your defensive linemen available. Mario Edwards Jr., I think, is going to talk today.
Yeah.
You know, he is coming off that suspended list. So I think, Yerk, he's going to help them a little bit on that defensive line. But you're right. I mean, it would be nice to see Eddie Goldman out there practicing full participation. He was limited a lot last week. Then he went backward on the report. So, you know, again, we won't get any information specifically from the head coach today on the injuries. We might have to wait until the report comes out after practice to kind of gauge where Goldman is at.
It was far from perfect in that secondary still. I mean, yeah, there were some plays that were made. Jalen Johnson with the pick. It was good read, good play. Eddie Jackson made a couple plays, also made a horrific, again, just a half-assed, half-hearted tackle down near the goal line, leads to a touchdown. Duke Shelley completely loses, I think, T. Higgins. Not a guy you want to... Not a guy you should be losing. I got news for you. I think it was Higgins.
Yeah.
You know, in coverage at one point.
Vildor slips in the end zone, and the touchdown's caught right in front of him. But still,
I think
you
got to
play
on that.
You got to play with balance, Carm.
Yeah.
Turf's not getting anyone than when you play with balance.
Yeah. Are they okay with what they got out of Shelley? I mean, after not playing week one, being their nickel guy, is that the plan going forward?
Well, this is the situation they're in, Carm. I mean, unfortunately, the options are very limited, right? I mean, it's Shelley or Marquis Christian, and neither guy distinguished themselves very much the first 2 weeks. I think, you know, they're just going to have to kind of go by their feel week in and week out at that position, which is a shame because, you know, nickelback for a long time was a very, and they had a lot of good players play the nickel position around here, you know, going all the way back to Ricky Manning Jr. I mean, there were some really good nickels. DJ Moore was a terrific nickel. They've had some. Bryce Callahan, you know, he got paid by the Broncos. Now, he was his Bryce's issue is always injuries. He has a hard time staying healthy. But I'll tell you what, man, there was no one more athletic in that secondary when he was playing here than Bryce Callahan. Not to go down memory lane, because these guys are no longer here. I'm just saying you're not used to having this position be so much in flux as it is. And look, this is a tough matchup this weekend. I saw the Bears guys, what are, Carm, you would know it's more than I would. 7-point dogs, right now?
Yep.
So, and not much is expected of them this weekend on the road. This is a tough opponent. Baker Mayfield says that his injury is checked out okay. So, until further notice, I think there's going to be some consternation about that secondary, especially nickel, as we go forward here.
JD, it was just one target for Cole Kmet. Now, he was targeted a little bit more in the opener. He had 5 catches for 42 yards in the opener. One target, though. It's like,
one target.
You know, like when do we start... And I'm not saying this is just on Matt Nagy or the coaching staff. Maybe some of it is Kmet, too, and there are still some issues there. Like, when do we see Cole Kmet sort of, I don't know, hopefully blossom into the player we all thought he was going to be, right?
Sure. I mean, he's a second-round pick. That's a high pick, not a first-round pick, but still, that's a very high pick. And there were a lot of expectations coming in here, and the Bears really believe that he can be an excellent, you know, two-way tight end, not just the blocking, but also the pass receiving. You know, Matt Nagy, you know, took the blame for that one. I guess he has to because he calls the plays, right? He took the blame for that one on Monday, saying that just can't happen. One target. They're hardly using Jimmy Graham at all. He's making a lot of money. So a position that we thought was a real strength, and Jesse James, who had an excellent preseason, is only playing like 14, 15 snaps a game. So it's interesting, Carm, that a position that we thought was going to be so strong going into the year based on what we saw over the summer – has really done nothing.
They've got all these tight ends, and they're not doing anything through two games.
They're not using them. So now knowing Nagy and knowing how he reacts to some of these things, I would expect Cole Kmet to get a lot more than just one target. But yeah, I think everyone's still just kind of waiting for that, you know, that big breakout game, that big breakout performance. I think the ability is there. I just think he's still waiting for the opportunity.
All right, JD. Anything else we should know?
Well, you'll find out here in a couple minutes. If the tweets are angry, my friend, you will see some angry Bears reporters on Twitter if one of the quarterbacks does not speak. We're starting here literally in about 2 minutes. We'll get all 3 coordinators, and then, guys, just kind of hold your breath, and we'll see what happens.
All right, JD. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the update, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Jeff. There's Jeff Dickerson. And, yeah, make sure you follow him at Dickerson ESPN because you'll be able to get the very latest. Yeah, Lazor's not he's not comfortable in this spot having to do the talking.
No.
I don't know what he's going to say about the reps.
It's all scheme, Carl.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just going to say it's scheme. Scheme. Scheme.
We'll learn a lot if they do bring one of those quarterbacks to the podium, but they could bail out on that any minute.
They should send Nick Foles just to troll somebody.
That'd be great.
Did Stephen A. really make the case for Nick Foles?
I would say
that headline probably this morning. I didn't even watch the video because it's so preposterous.
Yeah,
I mean,
just ignore that.
I just saw
right
a headline
away
on ESPN like Stephen A. makes the case for Nick Foles. No. I'm like, is my computer from last year? What, did it not update? Right. What just, what case for Nick Foles?
You ignore that and you just move on.
Steven.
You bring Foles up there with a hat, like Super Dave Osborne, and a clipboard, you know? A hat and a clipboard, because that's what he's going to be. That's what he has on Sundays, a hat and a clipboard.
That would be funny that's if they it. Did yeah. bring him up. Like, hey, guys, talk to Nick. Who knows?
Super Dave Osborne. Oh, my.
I love Super Dave,
he
man.
He was great.
Bob Einstein.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Smart guy.
Yeah, brilliant. That's what they say. That's Albert Brooks' brother. Do you know that?
Oh, it's Einstein's brother, I thought.
No.
Son? No.
No, no, no. No relation.
Funkhauser.
Well, it's also Marty Funkhauser.
Yeah, it is.
That's right. Yeah, I just, you know, Justin Fields, like I said, it was 13 attempts, right? But the intended air yards were 10.2. Dalton is like third from the bottom in the NFL, yep. just 4.2. Allen Robinson was only targeted four times last week. Cole Kmet was targeted once. There are still so many issues with this offense, guys.
The problem with Andy is Andy's ready to settle for the third option every time.
I know.
Third option. Third option. One, two, three. That's his progression. One, two, three. Three.
Three.
One, two, three.
Here's three.
One, two, three.
I was looking at, look, we know what the Browns are going to do, right? They're going to run it. Now they've lost Jarvis Landry. Odell hasn't played yet. They've lost Jarvis Landry to an MCL injury. They had to put him on an injured reserve. But we know Cleveland's going to run it. It's like last year. It's Baltimore and Cleveland. Through 2 weeks, is it any surprise that they're leading the league in rushing?
I don't think
no.
so. Yeah.
They are fourth in yards per attempt. They're second in expected points via the run behind Baltimore. Cleveland's third in the NFL in yards per play, Yerk, through the first 2 weeks, 7.2. Bears, 31st, 4.1. Browns are also third in the NFL in net yards per pass attempt. So Baker's even throwing it downfield a little. Bears, dead last. It's still the same old offensive problems with this team that we've seen since 2019. 312-332-3776. If you want to sneak a quick call in. We got another 15. It's Carmen and Yurko chugging along. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Chicagoland Acura Dealers. Visit your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealer today to learn more about the new, all-new Acura RDX, MDX, and TLX.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know, they say don't count your chickens before they hatch. You guys ever hear that? Ever hear that? Don't count your chickens before
right.
they
hatch. Right. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
Don't.
Hatched.
Don't
and
do
don't
it.
Put all your eggs in one basket. And
don't put all your eggs.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket, Carp.
The Dirty Johnny joke all over again. But, you know, I swear when at some point over the summer I looked at my Dodgers under bet and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, this
it's
is
a lock.
This is gold.
It's
right?
a I'm mortal like, lock.
I don't
Carp.
Really have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean.
What do you think now?
I bet the Dodgers under at 103.5. And really, not that I didn't think the Dodgers were going to be great. I mean, I figured the Dodgers were going to be great. But, you know, coming off a World Series, like, did I, you know, I'm like, but it's a lot of wins, man. It's a team that knows they probably don't need home field to win. They're confident. They also had an extended run last year.
Sure.
Like, there's usually a little bit of a dip or a hangover. You know, like, I just put it all into the calculus and
right
ran some power numbers. It was like, it looks like a 101 win team. My God. I mean,
yeah,
but so
you'd
like,
be three on the plus side.
Half.
You'd be three on the plus side.
Thank
there.
You.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to make the bet. And I did. And I'm telling you, in about mid-June, I, you know, we talked about it on the
you
show.
You were doing back like, oh handsprings I mean, like, down State Street here. You were doing back handsprings.
So here we go. We got what? 10 days left in the third, four, what about 10 days, right? Left
yeah.
in the regular season?
Yeah, you got 10 days left in the regular season. About
I mean,
10 games.
They've got 97 wins. I've got six wins
Whoa.
To play with.
Yeah.
But like,
You're not confident.
And what
no more.
Sucks is
they're getting chased down.
Well, they're chasing down the Giants. Like the Giants,
they're chasing.
Won't lose.
Yeah,
the Giants won in the ninth again yesterday.
Oh,
beat
boy.
The Padres.
Boy,
and so that like Mellor said, the Giants keep pushing them to keep winning because
sure,
they want to win the division. The Dodgers don't want to play in a wild card game.
Russell with another great start.
Right. Yeah. Can you? You're going to have a 103 win team potentially playing a wild card game.
That's the craziest thing in the world. That is the craziest thing in the world.
So I don't feel so good anymore about it. Like, if they win 103, I win my bet. Okay, I've got, like I said, I've got six wins here still, but geez, they don't want to lose. The Giants don't. They won't. Neither one of these teams will lose. So I don't
you're,
feel
you're,
that
you're worried.
I feel better about my Bryce Harper ticket now, though. I think Bryce has a shot at this, even though they're going to miss the playoffs.
How many units you got on those wagers,
that's,
kid?
It's,
you one unit?
It's a,
are those one unit plays?
No, the Harper unit I told you was a half.
That, right, right. That, I'm talking that, about your over-unders.
That was maybe a different one. That was maybe a different
unit. It's a little bit higher. It's a little bigger bit units, higher. Yeah. Okay.
But like the Harper one I felt like was a long shot when I made it. So, he was 4-1. I'm like, Tatis is going to win.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know. I can't believe the Dodgers. Bellinger just got hurt again last night, though. Although it. What difference is it?
It's a rib injury.
He's batting eighth in their lineup. Who the hell cares? He's their seventh hitter.
Honestly, it makes them better because they don't have to force him into the lineup when he's not hitting. And I say that they have like all-stars. Chris Taylor is not in their lineup every day.
He's an all-star. It's a
Get
joke.
Paid.
The Dodgers have 97 wins. They don't lead their division. The Giants have 98. You're talking about a 103 win team possibly playing in a coin flip game. And so they keep winning. They might go over the total now because they have to, because they don't want to be in that game. And the Giants keep pushing them to win because they want the division they don't have to play in the coin flip game.
Push them real good.
Max Scherzer hasn't given up an earned run in 37 innings.
Come on, Max. You're just showing off.
Well, you know what?
Knock it off.
He pitches tomorrow at Coors. So,
I know
that'll be put to the test.
Watch him go out and go 7 and not give up a run and strike out 11.
That'd be a good thing.
Not for me.
Yeah. That'd be a good thing.
Not for me, it wouldn't be a good thing. She's just showing off now.
Yurko, which color eye of Max's is your favorite? The blue or the brown eye? I know you're partial to the brown eye.
Well.
Come on.
Well, you know.
You sick son
every of blue man, every blue moon. I myself, hazel eyes on a lady.
Yeah.
Is what gets it done sometimes for the good kid. But on a man, the blue eye, definitely.
A blue-eyed guy.
On a man, a blue eye, yes.
You're a blue-eyed man.
Definitely.
Yurko's baby blues.
Definitely not the brown eye card.
No, no. Yeah. Happy birthday to Jakey,
Yes, turns 23 today.
23
little
today.
Little Jakey turns 23 today.
Not so little anymore.
No, not so little
so
anymore.
So Jake Yurkovich, happy
and
birthday.
And he won his first case as a lawyer yesterday.
He's a lawyer.
Traffic court in Crown Point. He defended himself in a traffic case.
He's like Matt Damon. He's on the stand defending himself.
He was citing, Cleveland versus the state of Ohio, something like that. Yeah.
You hit a cop, you're going in.
He goes, Dad, I'm 1-0. I go, how'd you win? He goes, the other cop didn't show up on the case. It was dismissed.
Awesome. I love it.
He goes, I'm the last case on the docket, Dad.
I would have loved if he just started citing law.
Yes. From 1896.
That's so great. Yeah.
But Jakey got it done, man. He won his first case as a barrister.
Good for Jake. And Jake, happy birthday, buddy. Happy 23rd. Celebrate responsibly and wisely. Follow ESPN 1000 on Twitch. Watch us live and join the chat today and every day. It's always loads of fun, and it's brought to you all this week by the great folks at Pinehurst Resort. And Yurko's going back in a few weeks.
Track.
He's got permanent residency.
Guys, as we wrap up, Coach Matt Nagy has announced that Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback against the Browns.
I'm shocked he actually came out and admitted it. I thought they'd play a game all week.
And with something that we obviously knew because the bone bruise is serious.
All right, so Justin Fields will be the Bears' starter.
Here.
This is not like the fake Ian Rappaport or anything.
No, this is from Chicago Bears.
All right, Justin Fields will be the starter in week 3. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. Thanks to JD and Chuck Garfine. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the day. Great job by Merck, Meller, and JR. And Meller's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Wally Backman? Tons of Wally.
How about where his interview is? Out by the motorhome.
He's out like by
in the
woods.
He's got woods.
He's got fishing poles next to him. It's like they pulled him out from a fishing trip and they sat down and they interviewed him for
like
2 hours. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go home and watch this now before at noon. I'm going to watch this starting at noon.
You know who you'll enjoy in it, Hoodie? Is Backman. Wally Backman is really good.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.